Guess that means we made it another week, you know. So we're going to look some more at the life of Job. Did you know that this is the sixth message that we've talked about here as going through Job? We're on Job 7, so I don't know if that means we're ahead or what. Job has really, really had it hard. And on top of all the mess, two attacks from the devil, his health and his family. I mean, it's just been really bad. Then his friends come and Eliphaz opens his mouth. He should have kept it shut. But now Job has already started his response, and here we come back to the next part of his response, and that's found in Job chapter 7. And Job says in verse 1, Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desires the shadow, and as a hireling looks for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I wake? And the night be gone, and I am full of tossings to and from unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask for your help. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Job is having a hard time here. And just these first six verses, it paints a picture of horrid, horrid life. And so the first thing he talks about is he says, I am here on this earth, just like any man. He says, and you work and you toil and you work hard. He says, and it's like, he says, in this world, it's like I'm working for nothing. His days were torturous. I mean, think about him talking about his being clothed with worms, his skin being open. I could go into detail, but it gives some of the younger folks nightmares. It's pretty messed up. Talks about how there was mud and dirt on him. Well, I'm sure that's probably the only relief he could get was to seal off those wounds with dirt and mud and whatever he could. His life was a mess. He says, when I go tonight, I'm waiting for the day. I can't sleep. He says, I'm tossing to and fro. Tossed and turned all night. Y'all know that expression quite well. Sometimes you've done that expression quite well. I'm a professional snorer. I don't toss and turn all that much, but I know how to snore good, all right? But I'm telling you something. We've all experienced that. When's the day coming? I'm not doing any good here. I'm ready to get up, but you can't get up because it's nighttime. Y'all ever had that? I'm just ready for the night to be over because it's doing me no good to be here. I kind of think that's kind of how Job felt. His days were horrible and his nights weren't any better. Because he had a hard life. I'll tell you something else. He had a temporary life. A temporal life. What does that mean? It means we're bound by time. And our time is limited. Look at verse 7. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. See, Job knew that his life was like a vapor in the wind. It's the same with our life. I mean, compared to eternity, we're just like that, and it's done. And probably at the end of the life, that's how it's going to feel. When we're done, it'll probably feel like that was quick. They say that as you get older, time flies faster, right? So at the end of life, you probably think, where did it all go? I've even caught myself saying that. Caught myself in the middle of July going, what happened to January? Or what happened to last year? I don't understand. What happened to 2019? Or it is 2019, but y'all know what I mean. What happened? But Job knew his life was short, and Job was convinced that Job would never see another happy day. Job probably thought he was dying. I mean, I'm sure he felt like he was dying. I know he wanted to die. We saw that last week. Let's continue reading with verse 8. The eye of him that has seen me will see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. He says, you say bye, basically. Say goodbye. This is it for me. As the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, so he that goes down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. He says, I know my life is short. And I don't have much time. And he says, I'm not keeping my mouth shut. I'm going to say how I feel. And you know something? As far as I know, God don't condemn him for it. He didn't say no bad words. Which, by the way, we should probably praise him for that, because some of us might if we were hurting like he were hurt. He's doing pretty good here. But he says, I'm not keeping my mouth shut. I'm going to tell you how I feel. And I want to tell you something. They may, when it's all over with, wish he hadn't. Am I a sea, verse 12, or a whale that you set watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me through visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. He knew his life was temporary. And he didn't like the life he had anyway. I'll be honest, there are days where we've all felt like that in some way, form, or fashion. But aren't you glad that God saw fit to keep us here? That he didn't give up on us. He gave us enough grace to get through those times. verse 17 says, what is man that you should magnify him and that you should set your heart upon him, that you should visit him every morning and try him every moment? Job was aware of how big God was and how small he was. He was amazed how he still cared about man, even though he was massive. Verse 19, Job says, how long will you not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? Says, how long are you going to keep looking at me, Lord? How long are you going to keep looking at me? Look this up, as I often do. With Job, I use the New American Commentary, and they said about this, verse 19 says, ordinarily it's a good thing to have God's eye on you, but Job wished that God would stop watching him, because it meant to him only condemnation and grief. Although this was far from true. See, Job thought, just turn away, God. I don't want this anymore. Because Job thought he was being, I don't want to use the word punished. I don't know. But he thought because God was looking at him, he was in pain. Job didn't see behind the scenes. And it looked worse to Job than it really was. And I understand that this physical world, when you're hurting, there is very little you can look at other than that pain. Am I right? When you are physically hurting, there is very little you can pay attention to except for what, if the pain's good enough, big enough, bad enough, there we go. You're focused completely on that, and it seems like there's nothing else in the world. But if you know Jesus Christ, that pain will end. At some point, whether it be a physical pain, an emotional pain, or just your dadgum tired, it's going to get better. Now, I can't tell you when it'll get better. I'm not God. But I know, as we looked at Sunday school, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And just like Job did not understand what was going on, a lot of times when we go through our pain, we don't understand what's going on either. We don't. You see, a lot of us probably know what's going to happen at the end of this book. It's not a crime to look ahead. Hey, I encourage Bible study. So if you don't know, go ahead and look ahead when you get home. Read the whole thing. I don't care. It's fine. Because you find out it doesn't end so bad. It gets better for Job. And it'll get better for us. It will get better for us. And you know something, I said it last week and I'll say it again this week. Both for Job and for us, we know, according to God's word, how the story ends. We talked this morning in Sunday school about a new heaven and a new earth. The old things are gone. It's all new. It's going to be wonderful. And it will make all the suffering we went through in this life, no matter how bad it was, look like nothing. You see, we have something Job didn't. We have that knowledge. Job didn't have that knowledge. I mean, I guess in some way Job knew that when he died he would go to heaven, or maybe not heaven, paradise, or whatever it was they went to in the Old Testament. Abraham's bosom. But It didn't seem to comfort him much right now, did it? Because he was still hurting right now. Well, folks, we're no different. It is so hard for us to look beyond our pain. But if we could only do so, would that not make our life just a little bit easier? We talked about Job's hard life. We talked about his temporary life. Real quick, let's talk about Job's prayer life. Look at verse 20. Still continuing talking to God here. He says, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O you preserver of men, why have you set me as a mark against you, so that I am a burden to myself? And why do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I will sleep in the dust, and you will seek me in the morning, but I will not be. Job said, What am I doing? He said, I've sinned. I don't know what I did. I kind of picture that in his mind. I've sinned. I don't know what I did. But I think his friends kind of convinced him at this point that he must have done something wrong. He says, look, I'm repenting. I don't know what I did, but I'm repenting. And I believe he meant it. But you see, sometimes trouble just comes. Doesn't mean we did anything wrong. It doesn't mean we're bad people. It doesn't mean God is punishing us. It doesn't even mean we're not good enough. Although we all need God, we aren't good enough. But just because trouble comes doesn't mean we're at fault. If Job was being disciplined of God, his repentance would have ended the discipline. However, we know this was not the case. Job asks God for some answers here, doesn't he? Or at least asks him for some remedy, some relief, something. But just because we ask God for answers or for help doesn't mean he's ready to give it yet. And make no mistake, he might be working behind the scenes right now to solve your problem. Do you know what I find? A lot of times there ain't no problem to solve. A lot of times, we just need God to strengthen us so we can do what we need to do. Sometimes the hardness of life is just that. It's life. And it's what we got to go through. So what we need is for God to give us grace, give us strength. And sometimes the only way He can give us strength is to pile on the weights. We don't like to think about that. We always like to say, Lord, don't pray for patience, because if you do, but you know, in reality, we need patience. God sees what we need, and sometimes He just has to pile on the weights just so our muscles are strengthened a little bit more. Throughout all of this, Job was strengthened. And in the end, we see how Job ends up. He ends up better for it. But did you know that in order to build muscle, you have to tear it down? Did you know that that's what weightlifters are doing? They're constantly lifting those harder weights, and they're actually hurting their muscles just a little bit. And their body builds the muscles a little bit stronger. Well, that's what God does for us. That's why sometimes God puts misery, hardships in our path. Sometimes it's just to strengthen us.